from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love it.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Good Friday morning. It's the first day in like 3 days when I walked in here and it wasn't pouring rain outside. Or what was Wednesday, Josh? Looked like Armageddon out there.
Yeah, that was like the beginning of everything. There was lightning and everything with no rain.
Tornadoes.
Yeah.
Not here. A little bit later on. This guy across from me just tells me I'm walking in. I haven't worked in 3 weeks. So he's ready to go.
It was sometime in June the last time that I worked. So,
three golf trips in a row.
Yeah.
That's got to fry you though, doesn't it? As much as work might, or no? Golf is it's said that it's a relaxing sport. Mentally, it is not relaxing.
Not when you're addicted to it. When you're addicted to it, it's not as relaxing as when you're just there for the vibes and for the times. No, I really turned playing 100 holes into playing 100 days, essentially, of golf.
100 days of golf.
That's what it feels like.
That's going to be the new challenge. 100 days of golf.
I could probably get there if I really tried. There was a point right after 100 holes from that Thursday to the following Friday. I did 226 holes in 8 days.
226 holes in 8 days. I do believe that's more than I've done the whole year, by the way. Although I'm getting there. You did North Carolina. You do like an Erie trip every year, course in Erie, right? And then what was the other one?
A little Boston. Just a quick one.
Boston golf trip just a Boston trip that involved golf?
It's a Boston golf trip.
Okay. Boston golf trip.
Yeah, Boston golf trip.
All right. Well, Nate's ready to go. Nate's refreshed.
Well, I would tell you that I'm refreshed, but as you can hear, my voice isn't great. I did some serious levels of karaoke on Tuesday night, so my throat still isn't 100%.
Wait a minute. What is it? It's Friday?
Yeah.
It's Friday. Tuesday night karaoke, and you're still recovering?
I would call it Wednesday morning karaoke, but yes.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I'm surprised, actually. By the way, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off until training camp. Nate is in today. Nate will be in a couple days next week as well. And we'll talk plenty of Bills today, because me and Nate, I don't think, have been at these microphones talking about the Bills since the Chiefs playoff game.
You weren't here for the draft.
I wasn't here for the draft.
So, Chiefs playoff game.
I think Chiefs playoff game. Sweet. We'll bring up some fun memories about that game maybe today. A lot of good stuff today. We'll have a hockey guest at 8 o'clock. We'll have Adam Krautwurst talk some fantasy because it's a fantasy Friday. And over my dead body, we will get to 10 o'clock without talking about fantasy at least once.
Scott Fishbowl Sunday.
Scott Fishbowl Sunday. Are you in the Scott Fishbowl?
I'm in Scott Fishbowl.
Wow,
are you in Scott Fishbowl?
I'm in Scott Fishbowl for the third year in a row. I'm very excited.
So, yes, this is my first year. I'm
Let's go.
Stoked.
Did you bid on a team once?
Last year.
Okay.
2 years ago. One was at...
Thurman was running the auction, I think.
Yep.
Thurman Thomas was running the auction, and Nate was bidding on a
I got
team,
weird.
But I don't think you...
I
Someone didn't. Went nuts.
Someone really went nuts. I think it got to like $300 or $400, and I was like...
right, drafting the Scott Fishbowl.
I'll let you have that dub.
Yeah. All right, awesome. Nate's going to be in Scott Fishbowl also. So, okay, I'm going to write down. I don't know if we're in the same league, though. There's two leagues drafting on the same day.
I'm not sure. I think I'm in Mike Leone's league.
Mike Leone's league. Okay, I think I might be in the other one. So we might be. That's okay. Then we can share our preferences without thinking there's collusion coming
I also
side.
Have. So at the same time, this was very controversial. So as you know, with especially like fantasy drafts that you've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
And there are 10, 12 guys, it can be hard to find a day that works for everybody to live draft. And we really, this group that I've been doing, it's my high school group. We've been doing it since high school.
Yeah.
So it's my longest standing draft. This is the first year it's been a redraft league. I had a lot of pushback about converting it to a dynasty because I don't have a lot of redraft leagues.
Uh-huh.
And it's... I can't really describe to you the vibe and how much I look forward to having that redraft league every year.
Yeah,
because I've won the league the last 2 years in a row, and there's just something about being able to sit down and have a full draft, and not care about how old the guy is,
right?
What situation he could be in next year? What
if
their contract?
Like your first pick, like who do I like more between Ricky Pearsall and Xavier Keon Coleman
and
Xavier Worthy?
And who you're going to pick? Like I had the number two pick in this draft, and it's switching from a redraft to a dynasty. And I don't know what to do with it because
The number two pick.
Justin Jefferson is going to go one. I'm thinking.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
In Dynasty?
Well, not. Oh, in Dynasty? Okay. In like a redraft league right now, he's going sixth.
Yeah, that
tracks. Because nobody knows what to expect from his quarterback. And
I think Dynasty, he's still, his ADP is still like, is one or two.
The guys,
I expect him to go one.
Let's see. The guys going above him, this is for this year. Who of these in Dynasty should go ahead of him? Not McCaffrey, certainly
no.
not. Not Tyreek Hill with the age. CeeDee Lamb?
I think his ADP has been like two. He is wide receiver two. His ADP.
Lamb, by the way, Dak's going into the final year of his contract. So,
right.
I mean, what's Dallas going to do?
And he's fighting for money.
Jamar Chase is the other one.
I've landed on two guys that I'm going to take it to.
All right.
Jamar Chase, Bijan Robinson. I feel like Bijan might be a little bit of a reach.
No, for Dynasty running back, he would be the number one guy. Right?
Yes.
Definitely. There was no rookie this year coming in that had any sort of high expectations. Like, we'll see. Jonathan Brooks, maybe, is going to be great. We'll see. But for the Dynasty format, no, it's Bijan at running back.
I'm thinking, too, I'm going to go, I've been doing a lot of mock drafts. But the reason I brought this up is, we all agreed on Sunday being the day for this draft. And then I got invited to Scott Fishbowl
right
2 days after we agreed.
And you
and
had to
you
go
know,
back.
You know how it goes. Like, I was like, absolutely, I'm all in. I've been wanting to do Scott Fishbowl. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, I'm like, hey, when did we say the draft was again? I got to put it in my calendar. And buddy's like, you know, the 14th. I'm like, okay, I feel like I've got something on the 14th. And then Louis was like, the Scott Fishbowl is 14th at noon. And you're like, it's the 14th at noon. So I'm going to be drafting simultaneously laptop and on my cell phone.
Wow, look
two
at this.
Of, I would say, my two most anticipated leagues.
Yeah.
One that's first time transitioning from a redraft to a dynasty, and the other one, which is Scott Fishbowl, which I'm, you know, looking to have a good team and be competitive and potentially win.
Wow.
So
my buddy did that last year, and he accidentally, like, he was getting his two teams confused, so he was like, oh, I already have a quarterback, and he's
that's
just
what I'm
You're
most concerned
very
about.
Very clear about that. I almost feel like
that's why I'm gonna do one on my cell phone and one on my because I don't think I should do both on my laptop.
You were going the direction I was about to, which is I need one not on the same screen.
Right.
I was almost gonna say just bring like a yellow pad of paper and just like write down
there's gonna
like
be
your
some
Scott Fishbowl team, just write down the write down the roster
because we're
goes.
Doing it live anyways. The first 10 picks are live.
Yep.
So it's not like, you know, I'd follow along with Sleeper and all that. But yeah, it's I'm anxious about it, but I'm also super excited about like draft season.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things. It's bittersweet because I'm excited about the new dynasty format that we're implementing, but I don't have a redraft league now. So
that's why I have one redraft league that we've been going at it since we were in like middle school.
So you have it's the same as me. It's like
and once in a while
vanity draft.
And I do like dynasty more. But
me too.
like you. That whenever people bring up in our group chat, like, hey, should we switch to Dynasty? I'm very much fighting against it because, like, I need this league to stay redraft because if it doesn't, then I'm going to have to go find another redraft league, and I don't really need to do that.
I think I'm going to have to create
two
one.
Two other redraft leagues.
I think I'm going to have to create one.
Yeah.
But
well, now you've just got Fishbowl.
Right.
It's basically redraft.
Good point.
Yeah.
It is a redraft.
Now you've just got Fishbowl. Scott Fishbowl, by the way, will have Adam Krautwurst a little bit later on in the show. He will also be there on Sunday. And we'll mention Fantasy Cares is what Scott Fishbowl, all the proceeds go to. Donating toys for kids that don't have the opportunity to get them around Christmas time. There's a donate button at fantasycares.org or at the Scott Fishbowl website. But we'll talk more about the Scott Fishbowl a little bit later on and do some fantasy there. I'm surprised, by the way, you mentioned like your voice because of karaoke. I was at the Chris Stapleton concert last night.
I'm jealous. I really wanted to go.
He's
forgot about
so
it.
So good.
He's insane.
It's like Sal was there too. With the people over at Roswell invited us, took care of us. Thanks, did a great job. They had their like own little thing going, and so Sal's there, and Sal's like, I've never been to a country concert before. Like this was he and Giannis' first country concert,
I'm like,
this is not though. This like it is a country concert, but this is not like
he's not to me. I don't really
someone getting up
country.
On stage and like yelling about his truck and his boots. You know what I mean?
It's so funny
like
you say
it's
that.
It's almost like bluesy rock to me
I was going to ask you, like, do you count it as country? I really don't count it as country.
Kind of, I guess. Like, in a way, yes. Like, it's on country music radio, right? Chris
sure.
Stapleton.
Yeah.
So they qualify him as such. But
a lot of things are on country music radio, though.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just realized, by the way, just to go back to Scott, I have the number 2 pick in Scott Fishbowl, too. So I have the...
Second
it's
pick?
Very possible that at the same exact times,
yeah.
I'm going to be having to pick.
Yeah. All right. The number two, right. You're going to have to hope that the number one people take different amounts of time.
Yeah, right. I'm
all
screwed.
Right. We'll see whoever picks number one Fishbowl. We can
yes.
affect that.
Chris Stapleton. How good. I saw a video yesterday.
He was awesome.
Transcendent.
He was awesome. There really is something to be said for the artist you go see in a concert where you just don't notice a difference between their live performance and what you would hear just driving in the car. You know what I mean?
That's
like just no auto tune, right? No cleaning it up. I mean, sure, there's probably a little bit of that going on, but have you ever seen an artist where you show up and like, wow, this guy is just the exact same as if I throw on, you know, the music in my car and listen to him there.
Did he sing Dylan Cousins' goal song?
He did. He opened with it.
Oh.
White Horse. And that's, yeah, of course, he did not know that it was Dylan Cousins' goal song. White Horse.
Great song.
Is the song that he opened with. So, yeah, a lot of fun last night. I think my voice sounds fine.
Yeah, you sound fine.
I try to, this is how I am with Bills games, too. If I'm at a Bills game in the crowd, and I guess broadcast booth, too, but this isn't the mindset there. You know, no one's screaming in the broadcast booth. We could start doing that, I guess, if we really wanted to. Like, on third down, we start yelling behind Chris Brown and Eric Wood. But anyways, I will consciously think about, like, okay, wait, I'm on the air tomorrow. I can't sing along. I can't.
Mm.
If I'm at a Bills game, I can't yell when it's third down. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Like
preservation.
Like,
you're thinking about preservation.
Preservation.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still getting the same experience, though. It's tough to not, like, you guess you mumble along a little bit with some of the words, but had a great time last night. Nate's in today. I wanted to open by asking you, because when's the last time? It's been a minute since you've been on the air, too, right?
Yeah. It's been a while.
And we're under 2 weeks away from training camp, so we're about to get rocking and rolling. What is, whether it's your buddies or your family or your barber, whoever it is, what's the question you're getting about the Bills the most?
You know, wide receiver. What are you good?
Straight up, it's wide receiver.
Straight up wide receiver. Safety, how much are they going to miss Hyde and Poyer?
Uh-huh.
What's up with that Craig Carton guy? Why is he always so negative about the Bills?
Is he the new Bills hater? I don't even know. I've done a very good job, I guess, tuning him out.
Good. Yeah, no, it's... So I was on Matt Parrino's podcast. Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot yesterday, we did a live version of Shout. And we talked a little bit about, like, you know, kind of the state of a Jets fan.
Yeah.
And how this is sort of like, and maybe historically I've lumped in Dolphins fans in this, but like the Dolphins like have a formidable team. Like they've been competitive and they've been the biggest threat for the Bills the last three seasons.
Yeah.
So maybe their Super Bowl isn't July and August anymore. Like their Super Bowl is, can they still be relevant in December?
Are they going to be like us where... When did the Bills... I got to pull up the Bills schedule. When did the Bills play the Chiefs again this year? When the
Early,
Bills play
right?
the Chiefs, that is going to be...
It's like week 6, week 7?
No, week 11. Mm. Week 11 versus Kansas City. When the If the Bills win that football game, there's going to be a lot of, oh, who cares? Do it in the playoffs, right? Like, to me, the meaning has been stripped away from the Chief game in the regular season, because now it's all about the playoffs.
Totally right.
You've already beaten them three times in a row or twice in a row, whatever it is. You've beaten them in the regular season. You can't prove you can do it in the playoffs. So if you do it in the regular season again, there's going to be a lot of, well, okay, do it in the playoffs. And isn't that going to be the Dolphins this year when it comes to the Bills, or when it comes to maybe anybody? But more so, I think, if they were to beat the Bills. Shouldn't a Dolphins fan, or shouldn't someone that is, you know, talking about the Dolphins think, okay, well, do it in the playoffs? Your whole...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Whole existence now is about proving you can win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Or the division. I guess the division, too. So maybe for them it's not fully this.
I also think that there's a projection a little bit from Dolphins fans about the Bills and like the window being closed for the Bills.
Yep.
Because it feels to me more like their window is also closed. If they're going to count the Bills' window being closed, like the idea to the minimizing of the players they lost this year, right? Like I think that it's probably fair to say most Bills fans have probably underplayed the losses that the Bills have sustained this offseason, right? And largely, I think there's a level of like copium around Stephon Diggs, right? Like, well, he wasn't playing that well and he didn't want to be here and the Bills are better without him, right? That's kind of, I don't want to say that's what every Bills fan
thinks.
How
many times have the words, though, addition by subtraction been said?
And
too many.
I think it's a little disingenuous, and I think it's okay. I think that's just the fandom in people saying, you didn't want to be here, screw him. We don't need him. He wasn't that good anyways. And that is, you can apply that conversation to any player that has ever been good and has left an organization, has been traded, has left in free agency, whatever. It is your coping mechanism, and that's totally fair. And I'm not saying you're a bandwagon fan or a bad fan for it. I'm just saying I think part of the conversation that if you're looking at yourself in the mirror as a fan about your team, I think that largely the Dolphins have looked at the Bills and said, well, you guys had major losses and we didn't, or at least they believe the guys they lost really weren't big losses. Robert Hunt and Christian Wilkins.
Yeah.
Nobody that the Bills lost went and got paid top of market.
Well, because really none of the Bills players, let's face it, none of them...
They didn't lose prime players.
Were in their primes.
Correct.
And we mentioned how the last time we were on the air was that Chiefs playoff game. How many players that they were missing was an impact player in that Chief game? Because, listen, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, all due respect to them, and they're going to be Wall of Famers if there's still a Wall of Fame at the new stadium. They were average safeties last year. They were not their all-pro forms. Jordan Poyer looked like he couldn't tackle running backs in open space anymore. And he did fine, I think, when he did the linebacker packages, right, where he'd get bumped down a little bit. And Hyde, I think, was okay. But they were not playing like all-pro safeties last year at their age. And Tre'Davious White wasn't even on the field for 95% of the season.
Yeah.
So, and you haven't had him on the field consistently for 3 years. So, Tre'Davious White's loss, like, okay. Morse, as I mentioned, might be the one, because Morse has been just rock solid at center for so long, and he still was in that Chief playoff game. And then Diggs was, I mean, the first snap is designed to get him involved in the game, get him engaged in the game, and boom, fumble. Yeah. He's lucky Dalton Kincaid swats it out of bounds. He drops the pass on the last drive.
Yeah.
Like Diggs was, this is the one thing I'll say about Diggs, because that's another thing like I get asked a lot about. Like, man, what happened with Diggs? You know, I'll get that question a lot from friends or family or from whoever. Like, what really happened with Diggs? And I think they usually mean more like, why is he gone?
Yeah.
You know, like, why is he gone? But I will say one thing to the addition by subtraction people. The one thing that you should be arguing on behalf of shouldn't have anything to do with his character or with his locker room presence or with his impact. You know, like, oh, he gets the ball too much. You know, like, I fought with someone earlier in the week that said that Gabe Davis would have been a better player in his Bills career had Stephon Diggs not been here. We all watched the 13 seconds game where Diggs commanded all the attention on one side of the field so that Gabe Davis could cook a guy one-on-one the whole day? Like, Gabe Davis benefited from having Diggs on the other side. Diggs was a psycho competitor, sure, but there's a lot of these former teammates are saying, no, like, he brought the best out in me because he holds people to an incredibly high standard. So I don't think if you're trying to argue addition by subtraction, you shouldn't be arguing about any of that stuff with Diggs, any of the drama. To me, you should be trying to figure out what in the world happened in the last 7 games of last year. Why, from the moment Joe Brady... These numbers we had yesterday. Why, when Joe Brady took over as offensive coordinator to the end of the season, why did he rank 109th out of 115 receivers in yards per target? Why was Khalil Shakir, by the way, number one in the NFL in that category? Why was Diggs almost at the very bottom? How did that happen?
It was, I think, very curious. And listen, I mean, what I remember about sort of the end of last season going into the playoffs, other than the general level of panic I think a lot of people felt about having to win out in order to make the playoffs and even have a chance at the Chiefs.
Right.
I think because that was so in our clear focus, like the blinders were on, it was win the next game and holy cow, that Chargers game. And holy cow, like you kept having these close games against teams you felt you were significantly better than.
Look how good they can run the ball against Dallas, right?
Yeah, like, and it was like, okay, but Dallas was a giant,
but Dallas couldn't
tiger.
Stop them.
Yeah, and Dallas was paper tiger. It turned out, right? Okay. They weren't really a good team. The conversation about Diggs was kind of this background conversation of what exactly is going on with Diggs. Is it scheme related? Is he injured? Has he lost a step? And I think because there are so many, I think, those questions that they take you in a lot of different directions and they bring you to a bunch of different results or different answers, I think. And I know for me, I don't think Stephon Diggs has necessarily lost a step. I think that there was definitely some level of injury slash fatigue. And I also think I think Joe Brady's scheme.
He was using really him in weird ways.
Really changed.
Like how many times did he throw a screen to Stephon Diggs last year?
Way more than they should have.
And I continue to think it's just not something Diggs has really ever been that great at. I think Curtis Samuel's going to be a better fit for that, actually.
I also agree with those
types of plays.
I think so. Shakir's better at it, too. But when you have a Diggs, and listen, I think if you want to get to the conversation of, because that's how we were using him, we weren't setting Stephon Diggs up for success, therefore we weren't really setting ourselves up for success, and we don't believe that the style of wide receiver Stephon Diggs is now and currently is a fit for us moving forward.
Shouldn't we think, though, if we're to believe that Diggs hasn't lost a step, which, by the way, I somewhat agree with. Matt Harmon, when he profiled Diggs earlier in the offseason with his like success rate on different routes, he still had him as an elite route runner at all the routes that are either intermediate or short. Like all of those, like the out route, comeback route, curl route, slant, flat, screen, even he had him on here, which is interesting because I didn't think he was very good in screens. But all of those, like he had Diggs as an elite wide receiver. And the year before, also true. But the difference was Diggs went from a top level receiver at the deep routes, the deep post, the deep corner, the nine route. 2 years ago, last year, well below average on all of them. Like what Harmon had was Diggs. He took a step back only in one department: routes down the field.
So were they like routes that he was running down the field, or the success rate of those routes down the field?
His success rate beating his man on those routes.
Okay.
So
was it a smaller sample size?
That I don't know, because it's by percentage.
I think that's a super interesting question.
It could be, because once Brady showed up, right? How many times was he even running those routes?
But I'm also of the mind, Joe, that like what. I guess I'm supposed to believe, or at least the conversation is one day in late October, early November, Stephon Diggs fell off of a cliff. And that's what it essentially is that through 9 weeks, he was still a top three receiver. And then he became a bottom five, he was number one receiver in the NFL.
By efficiency, he was horrible.
And yeah. I have to ask the question, and I think everybody wants to ask the question, why? Is it just because all of a sudden he got old?
If you don't want to believe that he lost a big step in the middle of a season, by the way, which would have been weird, shouldn't we be wondering if Joe Brady knows what to do with a number one receiver if he had one? Like, they don't have one right now, which, you know, like, this is not like a here we go, like, how is he going to use blank? They've not traded for Brandon Ayuk. You know, like they have not traded for Davante Adams. They don't have that guy right now in the building. So it's not really, I guess, a big problem at the moment. But like, okay, well, like we want to talk about trading for Brandon Ayuk still, right? Like he's out here on social media, it seems like every other day, stirring something up between him and the Niners. Should I feel like Joe Brady doesn't know what to do with a Brandon Ayuk because Diggs fell off the cliff when Brady arrived? Diggs last year had 100 yards in five of his first six games.
That's what I'm saying.
He was great last year.
And then
at the
I'm
beginning.
Just supposed to believe one day he woke up and was like, man, I just don't have it like I did last week.
Yeah. Again, like I'm not even sure it matters. If Joe Brady, who when he was in Carolina, like if you look at his big year in 2020, which is also Curtis Samuel's big year, and you look at the three receivers that all were productive. DJ Moore had a big year. Curtis Samuel had his most productive year. Robbie Anderson, actually had his most productive season that year as well. But none of the three really stood out over the other. Like they were all kind of close together. They were all pretty much the same. And I think that's probably what they're trying to build here, which is, hey, I'm going to have three guys that are all really good. Then maybe for them that's Kincaid, and that's going to be Keon Coleman, and it's going to be Curtis Samuel and Shakir. But he's never had like one guy stand out above the rest in his very short career as a play caller, whether it was Carolina or even LSU. Like, he had two number ones in LSU. So, you know, when one guy is getting all the double teams, like, you've got to do better as a play caller and a route designer to be able to get that guy into open space. Even at LSU, he wouldn't have had to do that because no one was out there double teaming Ja'Marr Chase because you had Justin Jefferson on the other side that you had to worry about. 803-0550 is the phone number if you have a thought on this conversation. What is the Bills question that we're getting the most? And I McDermott comes to mind. We talked about him earlier in the week. Diggs here as a conversation, though, for like what happened in Joe Brady's role in it is very interesting to me. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll have some fun today. There's a movie question I wanna get in because they're not remaking a movie, but I saw someone ask a question about remaking a movie that I wanna tackle at some point. We got some fantasy in. Adam Krautwurst will be along today, a little bit of hockey as well. And 9 o'clock, Sam Monson. Pro Football Focus is Sam Monson. We're gonna have coming up at 9 o'clock. His thoughts on the Bills. Time out here. Back with more and your phone calls at 803-0550. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.